Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Have your Bibles tonight. Two passages. Hebrews chapter number 9. Revelation chapter 20. Hebrews 9. Revelation 20. I know what your pastor feels. My favorite week of the year is Missions Conference. And my favorite night is Sunday night when we do something similar to this. And we rejoice in our faith promise. And we rejoice in what the Lord's going to do through our missionaries. It is the highlight of our year. There's a reason. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Acts chapter 17, you don't have to turn there, let me read it to you. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. The appointment. Everybody in this room has an appointment with God. It's either the day of the judgment seat of Christ, when we receive the rewards for that which we've done to please him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 clearly states that every man's work shall be made manifest, because it shall be revealed by fire. And he says in that passage, there'll be works of wood, hay, and stone, and gold and silver and precious stone. And the Bible says that the fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. Why you did it. How much effort you put into it. Was it because you loved Christ? Or you wanted the applause of men? Or because you were pressured into doing it? Wood, hay, and stubble, gold and silver, precious stone. All of our works we put into the fire. Now we already know that Jesus Christ has paid for every sin that Christians ever done, period. So in that book, when the fire is finished and the book's brought out, only the deeds that we have done for Christ will remain. And I would sure like it, I know your pastor would, for the people of my church to receive a full reward. And a part of that full reward comes with what we do between now and the time the Lord calls us home to prepare for the next appointment. If you have your Bible, Revelation chapter 20. If you'll notice, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I want you to notice that from the Old Testament passages, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, rejoice, O young man, all that you do, but remember this, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. It's promised in the Old Testament. It's promised in the New Testament. There's coming a day when every sinner stands before God. And that's why missionaries are so important. And that's why this night is so critical. And that's why your sacrifice to make this night so special is so important, because it gives a missionary the charge and the encouragement and the motivation and the support to say, I can do this thing. When the times get hard, they can remember back to this night and say, but there's somebody there that loves me in Vegas and I can't quit today. And so this kind of a thing is one of the things that encourages a missionary to keep going, because the day of judgment is around the corner. And we want people to be prepared. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body is present with the Lord. So whenever this judgment day occurs, all of us are going to be there. Now, we're not going to be judged as Christians. But if the Lord's there on the throne, we're going to be there somewhere watching. And I want you to notice that the sinner's appointment is sure. We have the Old Testament prophecy about it, New Testament prophecy about it. We have God's own word. The throne is mentioned 31 times in the book of Revelation. From a throne of great reward, Revelation 4, to a throne of great judgment, Revelation 20. 31 times. And you'll notice in this passage, the Bible says, the earth and the heaven fled away. So everything that you and I know today is gone, with the exception of the throne and our great Savior. All the angels and you and I and sinners. The day of judgment is sure. A lot of sinners think nothing of it. When you give them a tract, they think nothing that the day is coming. They have no clue. It's up to you and I to tell them. It's up to you and I to protect them, to plead with them, to try to get them to understand the judgment is coming. Please, will you listen to me? When we understand what is coming, perhaps it will cause you and I to have such a burden that your brothers and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles and your fathers and your mothers that are still unsaved will become so burdened on your heart that it comes front and center in your life and it changes you. It clearly has a place, this judgment does. I saw a great white throne in heaven from which the earth and the heavens fled away. It's some place in the heavens where God has appointed a day and a location. It's on its way. And God is going to sit on his throne with the only things that earthly made, the scars we put on him. And he's going to begin to call sinners to the judgment bar of God. The sinner's appointment is sure. And the Savior's actions are severe. You must understand, there's no second chance on this day. In our society, if you're judged as guilty, there's another day of sentencing. There's a little time in the middle. Not on this day. The judgment and the sentencing are together. And the Bible says that every sinner will be there. So you know somebody at work that's lost, they'll be there. You have a family member, like the one that's on my prayer list, about four up from the bottom, my uncle, my aunt, their four boys, all their children. I'm praying and pleading with the Lord, please save them, Lord. Because they're going to be there. Unless I can do something. Plead with the Lord to let someone else, a soul winner, knock on their door 1,000 miles from where I live. To plead and tug on their heart. The Bible says, listen to it. I saw the great white throne and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In other words, have you ever had someone that feels totally out of position, out of place? They're fidgeting and they don't know where to stand or what to do. Well, he says there was found no place for those sinners. It's like they're just nervous. They have no place. They have no home. Their home will soon be a place called hell, and they're waiting to their day of judgment. And so it says, they're found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, the rich and the poor, the mighty and the person that no one knows anything about, the person in Fiji and those huts that you saw, and the person in the White House. If they don't know Christ as Savior, every one of them will be there, small and great. And the Bible says, I saw the small and great stand before God. Yes, God. My name is John Franks. You remember on such and such a day? Yes. But I'm not that bad, God. And he goes down the list of sins. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of them that day. Matthew 12:36. I said that. Yes, you did. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. But I don't remember saying that. It's right here. Proof. Now, all of these things are just given to them so they know that the proof is there. And there is no 12 jurors. The judge himself that paid their debt out of love says it's too late. You said no. You said no either by the happy life that you lived, you thought, with all the money that you spent and all the time that you wasted and all the sin that you enjoyed. And now it's payday. You have nothing to pay with. And as the debate goes on, but Lord, please, please, would you just check one more thing? Check and see if my name's in that book. I've heard about a book. The angel brings the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I'm sorry, but there's no John Franks here. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was taken and cast. Like you throw a baseball. But this word balo really indicates that it's thrown with no real concern where it lands. They're just cast into hell. Because God's grace is gone. It's a day of judgment. Tonight, do you have a friend that's lost? Do you have a loved one that's lost? That would stand before the throne and not behind it, watching. It's an appointment. No one passes it. Ever forgot an appointment? The dentist calls and says, this is Dentist John's office calling. Are you available? We have a 9:15 appointment for you. I'm sorry, I forgot. Not one person will forget. Because God's the one that brings you to the appointment. He sends the death angel to bring you. To make sure you're there. But I want you to notice that something else begins to happen. If you read your Bible in Revelation 21, the Bible says God has to wipe away tears from the saints' eyes. See what begins to happen? As God takes a mother and a father or an aunt or an uncle and begins to cast them into hell, in the back, we that did not live right, we that did not pray desperately, we that did not pass out tracts, and we that did not come to visitation, and we that did not pour our hearts into stopping that line from lengthening, did not pour our love into sinners, all of a sudden we begin to see someone, oh no, so-and-so's in the line. It begins to affect our hearts. Tears begin to stream down our cheeks as they stand before God without hope. And the Bible says they are taken and cast into hell. And the saints' alternatives are simple. We can ignore and pretend that day's never coming. But it won't change it. The people of New Orleans, Louisiana, built their city below sea level. Why would you do that? One day, it's coming. One day, that storm is coming. And it may come again and again and again and again. And sure enough, it did come once. It'll come again. And it'll come again. It's too low. It can't be built up, the whole city. It was built on a faulty foundation. Sore sinners. The thought, it will never come. And for saints, you and I, if you're here tonight and you have your Bible, Revelation 20 is very clear. It's an appointment with God. And we'll be standing behind the throne, perhaps in the glory of God as we begin to look out and see, because the Bible says the sun doesn't shine and the stars are gone and the earth is gone. So the glory of God is what lights it all up. And so you and I are back then as we begin to see people that we love and care about come forward. The thoughts in our mind, remember in Revelation 24 verses later, he has to wipe away our memory and our tears. Why? Because our thoughts go to the time when two teenagers, one saved and one lost, and the saved one didn't have the courage to say, no, I'm not doing that. And they sinned together. And your friend, you could not witness to because you had no standing with him. Or maybe, as what almost happened to my wife's brother's wife. Her brother we prayed for 20 years to trust Christ or to get his life straightened out. 20 years of sin. He would come to us and he would try to bring sin to our house. He said, I'm sorry, we love you, but can't do that. He'd call us and ask for money. No, we can't contribute. He would try to bring his girlfriends to our house multiple times. No, can't do that. For 4 years, he said, would you take my little girl? We took her. And then he pulled her back into his sin. And then he started living with a woman And a soul winner went to her house, sat down and led her to Christ. And it hit her. She said, You've never told me about this. And his head went down. And her question was, were you going to let me die and go to hell? He said, I had no answer. It wasn't too late for them. But what about the people of Fiji? If Brother Navi doesn't do his best in Fiji? What about the people of Las Vegas if you don't do your best in this city? What about the people of D.C. if I don't do my best? And our people don't do their best. So as a pastor, I must remind them daily, come to visitation. It's not I'm counting heads. I'm wanting to slow the line. Please come and help us. Please take tracts and pass them out. Please help us. The appointment is coming. Do you have any loved ones? Please, let's put them on the prayer list. Let's covenant together. Let's lift up heaven and say, Lord, please save our moms and dads and brothers and sisters. Lord, please, the appointment is coming. Do you understand it's a guaranteed day in the future? And everybody in this room will be there. And you will have nothing else on your calendar except to watch the judgment or to be judged. Their first alternative is to ignore all the people that you see every day of your life. To ignore or to pretend that there is no day of judgment coming and live however you want. If you use foul language and tell dirty jokes at school, at work, at home, if you lose your temper, that son that watches or that daughter that watches or that wife that watches, you can pretend there's no judgment coming for them. Maybe your alternative too. You come to church and you try to do a good job, but you're not real. You put on a good show. Your kids know you're not real. Your husband knows you're not real. Your wife knows you're not real. They love you. You know what you ought to do? Sit down and say, I love you. Would you consider the Lord? The judgment's coming. And maybe you don't just live like you ought in your home or at work. You know, in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Lord said, in all things, be an example. A footstep, a tupas, a print, an actual footprint or a handprint. Christians are supposed to be footprints for sinners. So that they're so convicted by the holiness of our lives that they say, they've got something I don't. Like the Apostle Paul when he was Saul and he saw Stephen die and he took watched the people take their coats off and lay them at his feet. And he watched Stephen as he began to kneel under the pelting of the stones. And he said, Father, forgive them. And Saul said, what has he got? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, Jesus told Saul. What would that have me to do? I guarantee you, watching Stephen die, he couldn't get over. Watching a holy man die, but I tell you this, it's a lot better to see holy men live. Alternative number 3. Sell out. Give everything over to the Lord. Do everything in your power keep every friend you have and every family member you know out of that line. But what will they think of me? What will it matter if we fail? It is important that the people in this room, if you were God, where would you go to find someone to tell the people of Las Vegas about the Lord? You'd come here. To a church that loves sinners, tries to reach out to see people saved, you'd come here. But if you're not listening, if you're not living right, then what does the Lord have left? You can ignore it. You could be interested in the good life and not really worry about other people. I mean, when you ignore it, you can live any life you want. But when you're interested in the good life, you want to come to church. You want to look good. But you're not making an eternal difference. And then when you can look at the alternative number three and say, I'm going to invest my life in souls. How would you do that? Do you know how much money? I don't know how much money it took to do all this. But it was your sacrifice that did it. Matthew 10:42, the Bible says, God doesn't miss a cold cup of water given in Jesus' name. What do you think all this does to him? Heaven's rejoicing tonight. It's your love for missionaries. Heaven's rejoicing tonight at your sacrifice because you've invested in souls. Oh, the souls aren't up here necessarily, but these people are going out to places that you cannot go. Invest heavily. Give it your best. Be willing to sacrifice. Maybe you take a little bit out of retirement and put a little bit more into missions. Maybe you take a little bit out of a nicer car and buy a little bit lesser of a car so you can put a little bit more into missions. Remember, the car doesn't go. But every sinner can. Invest in souls. But not just that. Purpose to live holy. So that everything that you do, every word that you say, every attitude that you give off, people look at you and say, how can you live like that? So they come to you and say, I need to know. Live holy. Invest in souls by living a holy life. Invest in prayer. This morning, the missionaries, all of us, we got together and we prayed for much of the morning. How much time do you spend praying for your lost loved ones? Is it even daily? People many times don't know they're lost. They don't realize it. But somebody has to care for them to help them see they're lost and see there's a Savior. That's why you invite people to come to church with you, because you care. We care too much about what people think of us and not enough about shortening the line. Tonight, don't be selfish. Surrender yourself. Surrender your footsteps. Surrender your attitude. Surrender your heart. Palms up. Nothing in my hand. Lord, I give it all to you. It's been my joy to go different places around the world. In Uganda, there's a gentleman that my son won to Christ. He was a personal bodyguard of the president. He was in charge of thousands of soldiers. And he'd come to the village where Jeremy was, and somehow Jeremy met him. He began to talk to him, and he began to listen. And it led him to Christ. So he was discipling. He'd come to his home, and Jeremy would sit down at the table, and he would begin to share how to live right and how to do what's right. And he looked at Jeremy. And about the third week, Jeremy's talking about spiritual things in the future, the judgment seat of Christ. You want to lay up rewards and treasures in heaven, the great white throne, and what happens after death if we're not saved. And his face sort of fell. He kind of looked at Jeremy and he said, "Pastor Jeremy, my father, he died a few years before you came. What happened to him?" His next question was, "Why didn't you come earlier?" Maybe somebody in this room, God's calling to come earlier before it's too late. Will you surrender? When I go to Africa, I love going to the village church that's there, and I love hearing them sing. Oh, can they sing? Can the orphans sing? Matter of fact, the ringtone of my wife's phone is the orphans singing. It may go off in a mall, and you see people looking around. What is that? It is the coolest ringtone in all the world. I don't know what the word they're saying. It's in Swahili or Choli or something. I don't know, but it is wonderful. You hear the tone. You can hear the joy in their hearts. And there's about a 6'4" gentleman that is one of the cleanest cut Africans I've ever seen. Very well spoken. He trusted Christ. He was a teacher. Jeremy got to lead him to Christ and came to the point where he says, "Oh, Pastor Jeremy," he said, I want a job. I'm going to quit what I'm doing. I want to serve the Lord." Jeremy says, I don't have a job for you." He said, "Oh, Pastor Jeremy, I need a job." Jeremy says, "All I have is a slasher." You know what that is? That's somebody who takes a machete and goes out to an open field, gets down like this, and starts slashing. This man's educated. The people of Jeremy's church said, "Please don't make him slash. He's important." Jeremy said, "I don't have anything else to do." This man looked at him and says, "I'd be glad to slash for Jesus. I want to slash." So he gets out his machete and he slashed for 6 months. But his wife and 2 sons didn't get saved. And they all thought they should be saved, and they kept coming to church with him. And I watched them. They ride on a motorcycle, 4 of them. That tire's about like that. Comes up. And come to find out, his father had been murdered in front of his eyes. And every day in the village, he saw the murderer walk by, going to work. And he hated him. And he wouldn't forgive him. His wife didn't get saved. Boys didn't get saved. Couldn't understand it. Then one day the father got under conviction at church. You see, he's got in his hands this bitterness. "Please save my wife. Please save my sons." But But he's holding in his hand this bitterness. Oh, that's the guy that killed my dad. Justified, maybe, but not in God's eyes. For his child. Stepped out of the aisle, walked down to the front, got on his knees and said, I forgive him, Father. I forgive him. Guess what happened next Sunday morning? His wife steps out of the aisle, walks down the front and trusted Christ. And his two boys. You know why? He was saved. He was praying for them. But he was holding on to something that God would not answer. Is there anything in your hand worth the soul of your wife? Or your husband? Or your brother? Or your sister? Or your neighbor? Is there any habit that's so important to you that you let your coworker die and go to hell because of it? Tonight, nothing in my hand, Lord. I want to shorten the line. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. The alternative that you and I have that makes all the difference is when we say, Lord, I'll give you anything you ask. I'll invest in souls with my walk, with my money, with my heart. Tonight, there's somebody that's lost that's looking for Christmas in June or July. Will you tell them? Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. The appointment is on its way. Can't be stopped. Tonight, have you been a little bit lazy? Is there something in your hand? Tonight, we're going to have a word of prayer. We'll stand to sing. Whatever the need is. I'm just going to ask the pianist to play. Just the next few minutes before we stand. If you need to come, you just stand up and come down to this front. When the pianist starts to play, I'm going to have a word of prayer. And as the pianist starts to play, we're not going to sing yet. If you need to come, Lord, I got something in my hand. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's covetousness. Would you just come? And say, Lord, nothing in my hand. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. The appointment is sure. Lord, help us to make a difference tonight. In your name we pray.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.